I want to tell you about a company that I just fell in love with. So I found Hero Soap Company. What I love about them is we're using it all the time at our house. My husband loves it. We're switching all of our soaps over to Hero Soap Company. But what I love about it is they're local. They're an American-made company, and they're owned by a veteran. And I thought that was so cool. I love to support patriots. So if you want to be like me and get all that harsh chemicals out of your home and use a soap that's actually really healthy for you with great natural ingredients, but also is an American-made product that's owned by a veteran or co-owned by a veteran, then you need to check out Heroes Soap Company / Amber May. And then what's really cool about what they do is they give back to the community and they support veterans and first responders. So everyone's winning in this situation. If you use promo code Amber May, you're saving money. You're supporting a company that's American-made, patriot-owned, that supports other patriots. It's just a win-win for everybody. So Hero Soap Company / Amber May, and use promo code Amber May to save some money. Hey, welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm so glad you're here with me today. On today's episode, I'm talking to a filmmaker. It's not every day you're talking to a filmmaker. And so we're going to talk about this new docuseries that he's doing. It's absolutely incredible. I think you're really going to enjoy it. And he ended up becoming a friend of mine. So I'm really excited to help support his work in documentaries and filmmaking. He's super creative. I really enjoyed the series. So I really hope you enjoy getting to know him and learning more about the docuseries that he's doing, because the first episode is amazing. So that's on today's episode. But please like, share, and subscribe. Please, please, please like, share, and subscribe. Visit me at theambermayshow.com. I'm really excited because I just partnered with a company that helps with weight loss and beauty to help with wrinkles or skin conditions and to help you lose weight. And so if you're interested in like the skincare part of it, where you take these drops that not only will help your skin thrive and be brilliant and beautiful and wrinkle and less wrinkles, and if you have any skin conditions or scarring, it'll help with that. It also is a fat blocker. It's crazy. You take a couple drops, you feel the dropper, and you put it in your mouth, and now before you do that before meals, and now you're blocking fat. And then before you go to bed, you put a couple drops on your hands and then put it all over your face, and now you have something to help with scarring and wrinkles and skin issues. It's like absolutely incredible. To get that box, all you have to do is go to thetimelesspack.com, use promo code Amber May, one word, and you can get almost half off. It's almost half off with that promo code. Or you can go to ambermay.myinfinity.com, because when you go there, there's a multitude of weight loss products there, like coffee and different things like that. So make sure you go to, and the links are always in the description. Always, always, always in the description. So check that out. ambermay.myinfinity.com. Check that out. And then there's a really great artist. His name is Mike, and he has beautiful artwork, and it's very patriotic. So if you like patriotic stuff, if you feel patriotic, go check out his website at thecommandersartist.com and use promo code Amber and save some money there. So without further ado, like, share, and subscribe. Remember, I am talking to my friend. He is a filmmaker. I hope you really enjoyed the episode today. Please visit mypillow.com. Use promo code Amber. Save up to 66% off. Dr. Stella is your doctor. That Dr. Stella is your doctor. If you need a real doctor to give you real medication, go to drstellamd.com, set up a telemed appointment, get her Kobe sleep bites. If you have trouble sleeping, go get those and use promo code Amber May, one word, save money there. So all that and more is coming up on today's episode. Stay tuned. So when I'm walking around my house, I always wear slippers. It's just what I do. And in the wintertime, it's especially needed because it's super cold. And I don't know about you, but bare feet on cold floor just isn't my groove. So let me show you what I do on a regular basis. Okay, so I always buy myself slippers every single Christmas. It's just what I do. And so I got these MyPillow slippers, and they are super comfortable. I am not going anywhere else. First from now on, I'm going to get all my slippers from MyPillow.com / Amber. And you can save right now, get the lowest price on slippers and save 40% right now. So you can get yourself some if you want something for Christmas, or you have someone in your family that you want to buy for. So make sure you go to MyPillow.com / Amber Use promo code AMBER, save up to 66% off, and get these slippers at the lowest price ever. They're super comfortable. Super comfortable. So many of us think that sleep is a luxury. Sleep is not a luxury. Sleep is a necessity. It's going to help you restore all your bodily functions, help your body recover, recoup. It's something that we need to function on a daily basis. We need to feel restful. And if you're not feeling restful because you're not getting a proper night's sleep, then I have something just for you. I just absolutely adore Dr. Stella. She comes out with some great supplements. And here's one of the newest ones she came out with, and it's Kobe Sleeps. So if you have trouble going to sleep at night and you want a more restful night's sleep, go to drstellamd.com, go to her supplement section and purchase this and use promo code AMBERMAY, one word, and you'll save some money there. Not only does it help promote a more restful night's sleep, it helps with stress and joint function. So if you have stress, you have joint function, you're also not getting a good restful night's sleep, you need to go to drstellamd.com, get these Kobe Sleep Bites right now, and save money by using promo code AMBERMAY. Filmmaker. I hope you've enjoyed The Trump I Know. He's doing the Reawakening series. The episode one's out, so yeah. I hope you've seen that one because it's really well done.
Yeah, well, thank you. You can go to reawakeningseries.com and it is for free. So we chose this to do it like a kind of like if you've seen The Chosen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like this pay it forward kind of model, mm-hmm. right? We got enough out of our crowdfunding to be able to put it up for free. And so all you have to do is put in your email address and a name and you get taken to a place on the site where you can watch it for free. We still recommend putting pulling it up on your phone or a tablet and then casting it up onto your TV.
That's what I did.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then if you like it, please share it because we wanted to make it available for people to share, right? We want to get 10 million people to watch this thing. And we think we can get it because if everybody just shares it twice,
that's
right?
True.
Everybody that's watching this right now, if you just share it twice and then encourage other people to share it twice, it doesn't take that very long before it just exponentially grows like that.
Correct.
And then there's a donation button that right now takes you to a Give, Send, Go. That's where we're getting all of the money to create episode two. So we're about halfway through the edit on episode two, and which means that it's about 3.5 hours long, which is just, you know, which is a good problem to have because we got a lot of really good information.
Which means could that be a potential third episode?
Oh, yeah. No, we're creating, our heart is to create 4 episodes.
Okay, great.
So we've already preemptively shot a lot of information.
Okay.
But as you know, like the story is kind of continuing to unfold and things like that. So there's still some stuff that we want to shoot. And so all of the funds that come in is helping pay me and my team and my post-production team and then my camera team to continue to film and to, you know, craft this story that really feels like it should belong on Netflix.
Oh, I think so too, because if you watch the Reawakening series, the first episode, it literally is a beautiful story. They have all this B-roll, is that what you guys call it too? Because that's what they called it in the news.
Yeah,
so
it's called B-roll. Yeah,
they had beautiful B-roll in there, and then it starts out with Clay, and Clay tells his story about how he even got into the world of business, and then he brings the friends in that talks about Clay. I mean, it's just so beautifully done, and it's captivating. It's entertaining. Like, you want to keep watching it. Unfortunately, I have 2 little kids, so I was getting a little frustrated, because every time I thought I had some time to watch it, they would be like, Mom, pause. Whatever I had to deal with, go back. Pause. And so it was like, So it took me a long time to watch it.
But I'm glad that you still wanted to go back to it.
That's
cool.
It was very captivating.
Awesome.
Very captivating. Because you were so good at telling the story. It was, I didn't know what to expect, really.
Wow.
You know? I mean, when it came to the first one, I didn't know what to expect. Is it just going to be like a 2020 type episode, you know, where we sit like this and we talk
and
no, much better than that. You know, I thought even this, even the 2020 type episode where you're getting to know people in the whole thing, is still very entertaining to me. I think it's very fascinating. But the way you did it so creatively, I think it's a...
Well, thank you.
The rest of the episodes are going to be fantastic. So please go to the Reawakening series, watch episode one,
thank you.
Share it. Don't be, have your kids in bed when you watch it. Don't be like me and pause it 1,000 times. And the price point's great, you know, because you're also crowdfunding. So for $55, you get all of them plus the Trump I Know.
Right.
Perfect price point, I think. Yep. I think, especially after you watch the first one, you're going to realize it's definitely worth the $55.
Yeah, there are packages available that you can actually get the Trump I Know for free. You get access to the back end of the website.
Mm-hmm.
And then what we're going to do with that is we're actually working on part of the funding is helping put up kind of some extended interviews and things like that, because there's a lot of stuff. I mean, we filmed 82 people. We filmed interviews with 82 people so far. So there's a lot of really good material.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're going to try to do is put some of that stuff on the back end of the website. So anybody that becomes a member and buys a membership with, you know, by buying one of the packages, and then what happens is you get a login and you get logged into the back end of the site. We're gonna start putting up extra videos, you know.
How
back
did you
there.
Get connected with Clay to begin with?
So that was an interesting story, because my friends David and Stacy Whited, you know, the Flyover Conservatives, great people, and we got interviewed by them for the Trump I Know, right? And then my wife and I, our oldest daughter moved to Tulsa with the grandkids, and so we had been there a couple of times. And Tulsa started, well, not Tulsa in general, but Oklahoma has started doing some incentives, tax incentives, trying to draw filmmaking there.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, like, for example, you know, you go and make a movie, you keep all your receipts, all of the money that you spend inside of Oklahoma, you know, they do an audit, and then they cut you a check, you know, basically as a tax rebate.
Nice.
You know, and so that's how a lot of filmmaking happens these days. It's like a lot of people go like, well, why did you go and film, you know, Santa Barbara, California, up in Vancouver, BC.
Right.
Right. Well, it's because of the tax rebates, right? And that's what drives a lot of filmmaking. And so
I don't think Arizona has that. I don't think Arizona is really film friendly, is it?
There are.
I mean, they used to film westerns, but
right.
I don't see a
you
lot.
You know,
of
I don't know. I'm usually like the director, and so I'm not. I don't get into that. That's kind of the producer's job, is to handle all of the business and the finances and stuff like that. So my one of my friends is a line producer and has worked on lots of major movies. I mean, he worked on X-Men and Polar Express and, you know, all of those types of movies. And he knows that kind of stuff. So, like, that's what I, you know, like, hey, does Arizona have a tax rebate? And he would know.
So is that what you
New
did?
Mexico has a
yes,
pretty decent
they do.
One. Yeah.
So did you call him?
So I called up Clay. I called. What happened?
Your friend.
Oh, my
friend. About the tax rebate. Is that how you found out?
Well, no. We had been. We had actually worked on a couple of films in Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. You did. Okay.
So my wife was on the film I Can Only Imagine, which was filmed in Oklahoma. And then
that was such a good movie.
Yeah, I thought it actually turned out pretty well as well. And then we also worked on Unplanned. My wife was the co-producer on Unplanned, and she actually also had a small role. And then I was the behind-the-scenes director, so I was doing all of the interviews and setting up interviews behind the scenes with the actors and, you know, the filmmakers. And so we had been to Oklahoma a couple times, and so we knew about the tax incentive, and so we've been following it. And then they just announced an even bigger tax incentive last year, and so we were like, well, maybe we should like set up shop in Oklahoma somehow, because we have relatives there now and everything. And so I had heard of Clay, and I had listened to him on like X22 Report or something, you know. And so I was like, I called up my friends David and Stacy, and I said, hey, do you know Clay? And they're like, actually, he's helping us coach. You know, he's coaching our business right now. He's like, I talk to him like every day. And I was like, well, cool, could you connect me? And so he connected us through a text and introduced me as the guy that did the Trump I Know. And so I'm in California at this point. So like at 6:15 in the morning one day, all of a sudden I get this call from Clay. I'm like, I answer the phone.
He did that to me at 8. At least I got an 8 o'clock call.
Yeah. So I pick up the phone and I said, hey, you know, how's it going? Oh, nice to meet you. Yeah. And he's like, so you do documentaries, right? And I'm like,
that's a good impression.
Thank you. I've spent quite a bit of time with him.
That's really good.
And I said, well, yeah, it's one of the things that I do. And he's like, okay, well, I got this idea. And so he starts telling me this idea for doing a documentary about the tours, right? And I was like, well, that's really cool, because I had already kind of had an idea to do like a series about all the craziness that's going on in 2020. And if anybody's seen The Last Dance, which is a Michael Jordan documentary on Netflix, it was an ESPN.
I didn't see that
really,
one.
Really good. Really, really good documentary.
Not as good as yours, though.
Well, thank you. But, I mean, I don't know. I mean, Michael Jordan, you know, slam dunking and, like, you know, montages of all of his greatest plays. I mean, you know, like, there's something to that. But anyway, so, but I really loved that documentary series because of the way that they wove things together. They it was basically, like, following their last season as the, you know, the championship dynasty of the 90s in 1998.
I remember that game against the Phoenix Suns, man.
I know. I'm sorry about that.
I know. I broke my heart.
I was a huge Bulls fan.
I was a huge Suns fan during that time of life, because they had the greatest Suns team ever at that time.
I know. There was, you know.
That was a good
Barkley
year.
Oh, yeah. It was a good team.
It was good.
Anyway, and then we. Anyway, so the way that they crafted that together was really, really fascinating, because what they did was they took the underpinning storyline of that 1998 season, which was the last season, which was very dramatic, but then they also took you back in time through the characters to see the Jordan's career and Pippen's career and Rodman's career, and then you got to see them win each one of their championships. And so there was this multi-layered story going on. And so by the time you get to the last episode, everything apexes with their last championship.
Oh, wow.
It's really, really, really creatively
That's
well done.
That's kind of sort of the gist I got from the first season, or the first episode Reawakening.
That's
series.
What we were trying, yeah. So I had this idea
really
to do something with Patriots talking about 2020 and kind of like how to bring in China and how to bring in all of this stuff, because that's what a lot of people lack right now, is a lot of context.
That's right? Exactly right.
It's like they know something's wrong, they can see something's happening,
right.
They might be woke up because of the medical thing,
right.
Or Ukraine is waking a lot of people up right now, or Afghanistan.
Right.
There's all of these things that have happened, but not everybody kind of has that full context, right? Because, you know, they're all, you know, you're like, for example, podcasts, right? There's a lot of people doing podcasts, and guys are all doing amazing work, but there's so much information, right? And so to sit there and really get an idea of what's going on, like, you got to listen to like 3 years worth of podcasts, you know? And so I was like, well, what if we could create a series where we could kind of bring people up to speed and provide that context really quickly so that people go, oh, wow, okay, I see it, I get it. Like, 2020 is clearer vision, you know? And so then to do it in like a creative and an artistic way. So anyway, so when Clay told me about his idea, I was like, these two ideas could merge. And so I was like, all right, let's do it. So he actually put up some money to get us going in the first episode. But I was like telling him, I'm like, well, we got to do like more. We got to, because this is a big story. This isn't just a 90-minute documentary.
No,
this is
not
a huge story. I said, what if we did this? And he's like, well, he says, this is what I can afford to put into it. He said, but whatever you do afterwards, like, it's up to you. And so that's why we're out here now fundraising for episodes 2, 3, and 4, because we already preemptively filmed, like I said, a lot of stuff for episodes 2, 3, and 4, but now it's that crafting everything together and doing everything that we did on the first episode, which is doing all the sound design, you know, the music composition, the editing, the special effects. I've got a really good team.
Really?
Yeah.
That's
I've got a really
well
good team. I've got a really great team. My editor is actually from Australia.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so he's really passionate about some of this stuff because of what's going on in Australia.
Did you film him at all talking about his home country?
No, we haven't. We haven't done that. But we're going to incorporate, in episode 2, it's all about the medical tyranny, right? Because episode 1 was really setting up the stage with liberty versus tyranny, and tyranny, you know, is something that's been in existence for thousands of years. This is nothing new.
Right.
But now tyranny just happens to be dressed in a white lab coat
that's
and carrying a stethoscope,
Yeah, right.
And so, but the other cool thing is that his wife is an extraordinary singer-songwriter. Her name is Lauren Kelly, and you can look it up on Spotify and iTunes. She's got a great album called Wildflower, But anyway, so I got to talking to her about creating a song for episode 2, and she blew it out of the water. We're going to be releasing it here pretty soon. I wanted to get something done before we were here in San Diego, but I wanted to create like a trailer that features her song. It's so powerful. It feels like it belongs at the beginning of a James Bond movie.
Oh,
like it's that kind of
yes.
just epic.
Oh, that's
it's just
awesome.
Like chills. Like wow.
Wow.
So
that's great.
Yeah. So we're doing really good work. But like I said, I mean, we just need those funds to keep coming in, so that you know to pay it forward, to keep it free, so people can continue to watch it and share it. Because we've had so many people say like, can I show this to my church? You know, can I show this to my, you know, Patriot group? And I'm like, absolutely. Like, you know, please spread it out there, because we want this to be a tool that it's, you know, like some people listen to podcasts, some people go to these events.
Right.
But, you know, this is just another way to kind of package the information in an entertaining, you know, kind of way.
It was very
that can, you can put in front of somebody and say, it's not like, okay, because, you know, you've found documentaries like that where it's okay, it might be a little bit boring, but it's really good.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what I didn't want to do. I wanted to create something that people were like, oh, did you see this? You got to watch this. Like, this is a lot of fun. Like, I laughed, I cried, you know, I learned something. And at the only thing that I hated was that it ended. You know what I mean? So.
Well, that's why I'm like, come on, episode 2. Come on. Because I got the episode 1.
I know.
Even though I paused it a million times. I'm like, oh, man. So I'm excited about it.
Yes.
About it.
Thank you.
So I hope people will help crowdfund that as well.
Yes.
How did you know you wanted to get involved in storytelling? Because that's what where your genre is. I mean, as you do filmmaking, yeah. that's important to you.
Yeah.
Out of our conversations.
Yeah, no, storytelling is. I found out that God was setting me up as a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize until I was about 27, 28 years old, but. I had always loved, actually I wanted to be an animator when I grew up.
Oh, okay.
But I drew a lot and I was a cartoonist and I loved like comic strips and Calvin and Hobbes and, you know, Disney movies and, you know, and I remember going, when I was a kid, I remember going to see Disney movies back before there was VHS, right? Before there was home video. No, before there was home video.
Even before that?
Like back in the 80s, they would release, like, Peter Pan to theaters again.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah, that's
and,
true. Yeah.
And so we would go and watch those with our family, and I always loved that. And I remember going and seeing Aladdin when it first came out.
I loved Aladdin.
And I remember, I watched it 3 times in the theater.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden it came to the credits, and I remember my 13-year-old brain was like, these are adults. The names of the people going on the screen. I'm like, these are adults that got paid. People have this is a job. This is cool. Like, people get paid to do this, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, wow, that would be awesome. So I started learning, I started pursuing drawing a lot more and learning how to do animation. But then through the process of that, now thinking back on it now, I realized that I wasn't as attracted to the art of making things move, right? Because that's really what animation is.
That
and,
is exactly
And
what
animators
it is.
Are extraordinarily gifted people.
My uncle was an animator. He made Shira and He-Man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have the original.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so and animators are really actors,
yeah.
right? They understand movement. They know how to make things move. And I wasn't really so much attracted to the movement part
mm-hmm.
as I was to like these are the characters, and this is what they look like, and this is who they are, and this is how they're connected, and this is the story, and this is their world, and like that was always what really really attracted me, right? Well. I say that I grew up and realized that I could pursue my dreams
mm-hmm.
because, like I said, I wasn't until I was 27 years old. I was kind of into my second marriage, and I realized, like, I kind of was, like, looking at God, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? I was a pretty dark place in my life, and I looked at God, and I'm like, what am I supposed to do? And he's like, well, you know the thing that I put in your heart that you've always wanted to do but you've never done? He's like, you could do that. And I was like, touche.
Uh-huh.
You know, so I started learning how to do to direct, and I went out and bought a screenwriting book to learn how to do screenwriting. Taught myself how to edit by editing my kids' school videos and things, and started making short films out in the park with my kids because they wanted to learn how to make short films, and they were cheap actors, right?
Yeah.
So we started winning some film festivals and things like that. And then through the years, I've done a lot of corporate and commercial stuff, and then started doing some documentary work. Even though documentaries are not my primary passion is scripted work. Mm-hmm. Like, I love actors, and I love, like, you know, concealing, revealing, like taking people on a journey. And I try to incorporate that into the documentaries. But storytelling really is, there's a lot of people that don't realize how powerful storytellers are. You know, they kind of, and I think a lot of storytellers don't realize like how powerful they are and what their calling is. Because, you know, our entire humanity is built off of a story, mm-hmm. right? And so, you know, learning how to take people on that journey. What I tell people, stories are like defragmenting your computer. Okay? Have you ever defragmented your computer?
Yes.
Back in the day?
Yes, right? Back in the day.
Right? And so you defragment the computer, and if anybody doesn't know what that is, what happens on a hard drive is that when you're recording stuff on a hard drive, things get deposited over here on this part of the disk, and then it gets deposited over here on this part of the disk, and then over here and over here. Now, this thing over here might be associated with this thing over here, and so what that does is that when your computer tries to read those two things simultaneously, it bogs the computer down and makes it slow, right? And so when you defragment, what it does is it kind of sorts out that disk, and it puts stuff that it should be accessing together somewhat closer to the drive so that it's not having to work as hard. Mm-hmm. Well, so storytelling, for me, is like defragmentation, and this is why. Is because in life, we understand inherently that there's justice and mercy, yes, and love and all of these things, right? Mm-hmm. But we live in a world that's broken.
That's right.
And we live in a world that doesn't reflect those truths.
That's right.
Right? So there's this truth meter inside of us that responds and goes, there's this frustration,
right?
Right? Because we're not seeing what we know to be true,
yes,
right? We're seeing fact, we're seeing something that is an element of truth, right? Mm-hmm. But it's violating something here. So what a good story does is it actually recenters you. And that's what they call catharsis. So catharsis is this experience where you go on this roller coaster of emotions in a story, and you get done with the story and you're like, justice does exist.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Love does conquer all, mm-hmm, right? You're like, you. That's why we feel good when we get to the end of a story, or sometimes we get to an end of a tragedy, and a good tragedy still reflects truth, but it shows that what happens when somebody makes the wrong decision, mm-hmm, right? And it's still true, mm-hmm, right? So like, that's why people love like Breaking Bad.
Yes.
Right?
I love that.
Yeah, mm-hmm, it's a great show. Yeah. But you get to the end of that show and you're like, as fascinating as that was, and as justified as some of his decisions would have been made, to make the decisions that he made, right, you still feel like, okay, yeah, but you died.
Yeah.
You got to the end and you still got, you know, really what you deserved because,
right,
you made the wrong decisions.
Right.
Even though you were trying to take care of your family.
Yeah.
Right? So a good story knows how to take people on that journey, provide catharsis, and like I said, reorient the human experience to truth. And that's, you know, that's my passion, is to create stories that vanquish fear and bestow hope.
I love that. I think hope is so important. I think hope is important, especially to this movement, where we're living at now, and I agree with you. I love your storytelling. I hope my audience will love your storytelling too. So again, tell them where they can go to find your work.
So go to reawakeningseries.com. And all you have to do is put in your name and your email address, watch the episode for free. Like I said, put it on your phone, cast it up on your TV, and then share it. And then if you liked it, please pay it forward. You know, like I said, everything is going towards getting episode 2, 3, and 4 done. Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, thanks for your time today.
Thank
I appreciate
you, Amber.
Talking
yeah, it's
to
good
you.
Hanging out with you again.
In today's world, you never know what's going to happen. I want to make sure you are prepared. So I want you to stock up on food right now. And the way you can do that, the easiest way to do that is go to theamermayshow.com. Look at the resources. You can have a full supply, full of food in your pantry, ready to go in case of a job loss or convoys, supply chain issues, business being shut down, war, whatever it is, you're prepared. So go to theamermayshow.com, click the resource tab, and get your food supply today. Do not wait, get it today.
Say, make money, money, make money, money, money.
Make money, money, make money, money, money. Money, money. makes the world go round. I'm the talk around town. Remy gave me the sound.
Fat pockets.
I need that Skrilla on the Rilla.
Fat pockets.
I need that Skrilla on the
Rilla. Hey, welcome back. I'm Amber May, and today I'm going to be talking to you about protecting your wealth. Normally, I talk to you about protecting your health. I talk about other things, but today we're going to be talking about your wealth, because if you don't have your health and you don't have your wealth, then what do you have, right? And so I'm going to show you a strategy where you won't lose money. You can only gain money. And you're going to be like, what? How does that work? I'm going to show you how. Because what I do is it's a growth-only strategy, meaning if the market goes backwards, you don't lose a penny. When the market's doing great, you do great too. And I'm going to show you how to do it, because I want to help you guys build a legacy for yourself and for your family. So imagine this, like, we always hope that we are on the top end of the market when we're getting ready to retire. But if you're like my dad, that may not happen to you. And, you know, my dad was in 2008, we all remember the housing market that crashed, right? Everything went down, stocks, everything went down. We just had a total meltdown of our market. And so my dad, who's really close to retiring, lost a great deal of his money. Was he able to retire at that point? Absolutely not. How could he have lived when he had just lost a ton of his money? And I don't want that to happen to you, because after I saw that happen in real life, I was like, nope. So that's why, one of the reasons I'm really passionate about what I do. So let me show you. So I am with First A&M Futures and First Financial Security. And right here, this is kind of what I was talking about, where the stock market, so you can see right here in 2008, the stock market took a dive. If you were on the index, because that's what we use with our clients, these people never took a hit. So if my dad would have been on the index in 2008, he would have been fine. He could have retired. So you always hope that it's you that are on the upswing, like up here, and not the downswing when it's your time to retire. So I'd love to sit and talk to you. 15-minute conversation's all I really need, 20 minutes maybe. And then if you're interested, go fill out the form on my website at theambermayshow.com. Contact me. Let me know you want to talk to me 15, 20 minutes, and we can show you how you can have a growth-only way to save for retirement, have a great robust savings, protection should you become ill or injured. This is amazing for children. So if you're looking at a way to invest for your children, do what I did. Come talk to A&M Futures, Amber May, and we'll get you taken care of. Have a great day.